Turn your Bibles to Psalm 104 this morning, please. Psalm 104, I want to speak about the God effect. Psalm 104, and let's begin reading in verse 1. We'll read the whole psalm this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds as a chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundation of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled, the voice of thy thunder, they hasted away. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys, into the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they return not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field, the wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. The wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted, where the birds make their nests. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together, and they lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work, and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping, innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created. And thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth. Let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. You ever thought how life will be better without certain things in it? I was the oldest of six kids. I have four sisters and one brother. And there were times throughout my life when I thought, it'd be nice if there weren't so many in my family. In fact, there were times when I thought, it'd be nice if I was the only one in my family. I don't think like that anymore, but when I was younger, I had those thoughts, especially when the younger ones were giving me fits or tattling on me or other things going on. But what life would be like without flies, mosquitoes, rain, weeds, liberals. <Amen. Lord. laughs> If you do an internet search on that thing, you're going to find all kinds of things, you know, from coffee to humans, you know. The world would be a better place without this and all those things fitting in there, you know. But, you know, one of the things that comes up frequently in a check like that is religion. The world would be a better place without religion, without God. I don't think so. Amen. In fact, it wouldn't be without God. But many people seem to think that God is the root of the problems in the world. And how foolish that thought is. But what would the world be like without God? I mean, assuming that it could exist if there were no God, which is, again, impossible. But think about it. Some desire that, and some are even striving to eliminate God from our society today. But I want to think of this morning about the effect, the influences that God has upon us. First, look at Nehemiah chapter 9. And this whole psalm has dealt with that subject, but go back to Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heavens of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth, all things that are therein, and seas, and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. God made it. And God preserves it. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. Basically saying the same thing that Nehemiah chapter 9 said, but this word consist, if you look it up, the definition is this: to be, to exist, to be supported or maintained. By God, it's preserved. By God, it all consists. I'm told that the energy inside of an atom, with those electrons and those protons spinning around in there so fast, science cannot explain why that thing just doesn't explode. Because of all that activity and all that energy, that explains it right there. God's holding it together. By him it consists. Science doesn't have the answer, but the Bible does. Amen. Without God, it wouldn't be. It wouldn't hold together. It would have been destroyed long before this. Man is not the problem. Man was God's creation. Amen. It consists by God. He controls night and day. Look again at Psalm 104. Psalm 104. Verse 19, he appointed the moon for seasons, the sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. God's in control of that. I was talking with Brother Bernstorff when they were here, missionary to Trinidad, and I had noticed this when we went to Honduras as well, but you know, you get closer to the equator, and day and night is equal. You know, we up in this frozen north, you know, we complain about the winters and so forth. But you know, it's kind of nice in the summertime when the sun starts coming up at about 5:30, 6 o'clock. And it doesn't go down until 9:30 at night. Don't you enjoy that? Yeah. Brother Bernstorff says, I miss that. Because 12 months of the year, 365 days of the year, the sun comes up at 6 o'clock and it sets at 6 o'clock. all year long. But God's in control of all that. That pattern, that consistency. God controls the night and the day. Look at Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38, verse 12. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days and caused the day spring to know his place? These are the questions God is answering, asking of Job. He said, I've heard, listen to you guys spouting off, and Job, you got some things that you said I want to challenge you about, but these other knuckleheads, they got some things to answer for too. He says, but let me just see how smart you are, And he starts answering these questions, or asking him these questions. And one of them is, hast thou commanded the morning since thy days? No. We don't have any effect on that thing. God does. God says, I control that. That's mine. Psalm 74. Psalm chapter 74, verse 16. The day is thine, the night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. And then we read in Joshua about how God caused it to stand still for an entire day. You think about that. That's our God. And that's the influence, the control, the effect that he has in the world. Those Israelites were in that battle and things were going tough, but they needed to get the thing finished, and God says, okay, that sun's not going to move for 24 hours. It's not going to be night for an entire day. Then later on in the book of Kings, we read about in the days of Hezekiah, where God causes it to retreat backwards 20 minutes, 10 degrees. God's in control of that. The forecast this past week was for rain. Several have made reference to that. Well, what are we going to do about games? How are we going to handle this thing? We'll just do what we need to do, right? And was it Thursday? We're supposed to be just, torrential downpours. I think Wednesday night we had some sprinkles during the game time. The rest of the week, even though it rained during the day, during VBS, man, it was not there. And probably Thursday night was the nicest evening we had, which was supposed to have been torrential rain downpours. Yeah. Man thinks he's got things all figured out, and he doesn't. Our God is in control of it. Amen. And for some reason, God chose to extend his favor to us this past week and say, okay, I'm going to give you no rain during your VBS. Now, it was a Thursday night. I think we let loose about probably 9:30 or 10 o'clock. But during VBS, there wasn't a thing, man. What a God. He's in control. This is our God, the God that we worship. He controls the seasons. Look again at Psalm 104, verse 14. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, an herb for the service of man. He may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted, where the birds make their nests, is for the stork. The fir trees are her house. The high hills are refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. God set that all up. The seasons, the climate change. God's in control of that, not man. We don't affect it. It's arrogance of man to think that we could, have that much control over that. God controls it. And at any point, he can change it as well, whether it's causing the sun to stand still for 24 hours, or causing to get cold for maybe months or years at a time, and then to warm back up in another warm period. It's cyclical. But it's also under the control of God for His purposes. Amen. God's in control of it all. Look at Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. Verse 21. And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. God's in control. God determines what's going to take place. It's not man-made global warming. If it's warming, it's because God chose for it to be. And He's got His purposes in the doing of that. And it's arrogant for man to think that he can have effect on it. Albert Einstein said this: things should be made as simple as possible. Science wants to complicate it. And they got all their maps like the meteorologists, and this is what's going to happen, and here's this storm coming, and where was it? They talk about being able to predict the, century, 10 AOC said 10 years, 12 years man's got left if we don't do something. No, nonsense. You don't even know what's going to happen this afternoon for sure. How can you predict 12 years from now? It's ridiculous. God controls all of it. Look at Job chapter 28. You know what AOC stands for? Accidentally, occasionally correct, coherent. Not correct, coherent. 38, or Job 28, excuse me. Job 28, verse 24. For He looketh to the ends of the earth, He seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds. He weigheth the waters by measure. When He made a decree for the rain, and way for the lightning and the thunder, then did He see it and declare it, He prepared it. Yea, He searched it out. And unto man He said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Chapter 37, verse 2. Hear attentively the noise of His voice and the sound that goeth out of His mouth. He directeth it under the whole heaven, and His lightning unto the ends of the earth. After it a voice roareth, He thundereth with the voice of His excellency, and He will not stay them when His voice is heard. God thundereth marvelously with His voice. Great things doeth He, which we cannot comprehend. For He saith to the snow, be thou on the earth. Likewise to the small rain and the great rain of His strength. God controls it. Amen. And man, you think about that, and I've always told our kids, and I don't know if they ever feared the lightning and the thunder or not, but man, that's God's voice. That voice, that thunder, that's what He said. That's God's voice. Think about that. My God speaking. My mother used to say it was the angels bowling up in heaven, but I like what God says about it better. The voice of God. And that lightning goes, That's God's in control of that whole thing. Psalm 148. Psalm 148, verse 3. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He also hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling His word. Here's what Louis Pasteur had to say about this. After years of watching the processes of nature, I can no more doubt the existence of an intelligence that is running things than I do the existence of myself. I'm sorry, that was Thomas Edison, that quote. Now is Louis Pasteur. A little science estranges men from God. A little science. But much science leads them back to Him. It is not a question of faith in science, but it is a question of the size of the mind. If you have only a little bucket of a mind and get a lot of science into it, the little faith that you may have may come up floating out at the top and be lost. But if you have a good-sized bucket of a mind, there will be plenty of room for both science and faith. Yeah. Amen. That's the problem with today's scientists. They only got a little bucket of a mind. I like the way some of these old guys put things. You know, succinct and right to the point. You know, God is essential to the existence and the continuation of our world. God's influence on man. He's the giver of life. Genesis 2:7 says that He says, He formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God created it. Look how Acts chapter 17 says this. Acts 17 and verse 24. Acts 17:24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temple made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. One blood, all nations. There are some that go around trying to say that, you know, we shouldn't have blood transfusions because the black people have different blood than white people. That's not what the Bible said. He made of one blood all nations. We're all from the same creation, the initial creation, Adam and Eve. And if that's not enough, as time went on and man became evil again and God destroyed the whole earth, He started all over again with Noah and his family. So He brought the whole thing back down to one man once again. And of one blood, all nations came into being. He is the giver of life. He created it. But I want you to think about this. God is the source of goodness. What would the world be like without God? Look at Psalm 33. Psalm 33, verse 4. The word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Psalm 103 and verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. How many of you have ever been sick? You got healed, didn't you? You said, well, I went to the doctor. Yeah. But how about people that went to the doctor with the same ailment that you had and didn't survive? You see, ultimately, all healing comes from God. Amen. And I'm not advocating you not go to the doctor, but I'm saying that God uses the doctor sometime. But God is still the one that's responsible for the healing. He healeth all thy diseases. Where did I leave off here? Verse 4. Who rendereth thy life from redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. The source of goodness. The benefits, the good things that we enjoy, like God is the source of that. Amen. Without God, that's gone. You know what you got without God? Hell. That's what hell is, the absence of God. I mean, you can talk about the fires of hell and the eternal torments of hell, and that's all real. I believe that. But I believe that the very worst thing about hell is the absence of God. His influence, his goodness upon the world. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. That they may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. See, even the wicked benefit from God's influence. Yeah. That rain that moistens the crops so they can grow and be productive. The sun then that comes out and helps the process as well. That's all from God. And they benefit from that. God's goodness. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Verse 12. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Now watch this. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. I believe that without trusting Jesus Christ as Savior, a person's going to die and go to hell. Yeah. And one of the common questions is, well, what about the heathen that never heard? Right there. God's put it in here. And I think the perfect example of how God works with that is in Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius. He was a just man. He prayed. He gave alms. He feared God. But he wasn't saved. So what did God do? He says, Cornelius, your prayers have come up for a memorial to me. And I want you to take some guys, I want you to send them over to Joppa for a guy named Simon Peter. And he will come and he will tell you what you need to do. Amen. You see, he had that desire for God. He'd shown the conscience that would the law that was written in his heart, that conscience. And so God saw that he got a preacher so he could hear and be saved. Amen. Because they can't be saved without a preacher, as Romans chapter 10 tells us. And how shall they preach except they be sent? How beautiful are the feet of them that bring the gospel of good tidings of peace. That's what he did. God saw that man got the message. So what about the heathen? That's God's responsibility to get a preacher to them. You think God fails in that? If the person has their conscience awakened towards God? Absolutely not. Why are the Bernsdorfs in Trinidad? Why are the Rodriguez in Paraguay? And those other missionaries back there in the fields that they go to, God says, you need to go to that people because there's some there that I need to get the message to so they can be saved.
Amen.
God takes care of it. God's goodness. It's all part of that. But it's in the heart. There was a town named Liberal, Missouri, which was founded in 1880. Founded by a free-thinking utopia, founded as a free-thinker utopia by an anti-religionist lawyer named George Walser. The town was advertised as the only community its size in the United States without a priest, without a preacher, without a church, without God, without hell, without the devil. It became a den of iniquity. Its hotels were nothing but brothels. Virtue was almost unknown in this community. Feticide, which is what they used to call abortion, which maybe we should start calling it that again, was universal in the 1880s. The physician said that a large portion of their practice was saving females from the consequences of feticide. Liberal was a failure. Interesting, the name, though, isn't it? Complete and total failure. Even lifelong unbelievers who had moved there for its advantages left in disgust. One said this, an infidel surrounded by Christians may spout his infidelity and the community may be able to stand it, but it will never establish a society with infidelity as its basis. Napoleon said this, I saw men without God in the Reign of Terror in 1793. One does not govern such men. One shoots them. God's influence. That's what you would have if many today that want to remove God from our society were successful. Nothing but evil. Because the influence of God is good. God is good. In fact, God is love. Because without God, there's no love.
Amen.
You take God out of the equation, and you've got hell. That's what you're left with. Society cannot exist without God. And you know what's here? As a representative of God, us. That's our role. That's our responsibility. Do you ever think about this? Why didn't God take us home when we got saved? Wouldn't that be great? All the problems, heartaches, and trials of this world. Kiss them goodbye. God left us here for a purpose. Look at Psalm 111. Psalm 111, verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Oh, that's the wrong chapter. Sorry about that. Okay, that was chapter 110. I'll get in the right chapter here. Psalm 111, verse 4. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Psalm 107, verse 2, goes along with that. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You see, if we're saved, we've got a responsibility to tell others about what God has done for us. Because his wonderful works were done to be remembered. God says, I want people to know what I've done. I want people to know what I've done in your life. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Speak up, Christian. You see, what we've allowed the world to do is shut us up. Whether by fear, intimidation, or whatever. And the witness isn't going out like it's supposed to. It's our responsibility to speak. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I'm to let people know what God's done in my life and not just my salvation. You know what, a lot of times God will bring some blessing like keeping the rain away this past week and we just accept it and go on without even noticing it. And we need to brag on our God. Amen. So people understand the workings of him in our daily lives. Not just the pie in the sky by and by, but what's going on right now in my life that God's intervening, God's working, God's doing. God's answering prayer. God's protecting me. God's providing for me and my family. Let people know that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. And I don't think that's the verse that I wanted. That goes along with it, but oh, I read the wrong chapter again. That was chapter 1. All right. Chapter 2, verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Holding forth that word of life, shining forth. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. He saved us. He's changed us. He's delivered us. But then he goes on, he says, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's not just my responsibility, folks. That's all of ours. That ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. That's why we're left here. We're left away from home as an ambassador for our Savior. Ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, like Peter did to Cornelius, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's our responsibility, folks, is to allow Jesus Christ to be seen in our lives. To allow the Word of God first to affect us. But don't hide it under a bushel. Get it out. To let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Amen. That our God be glorified by our lives. That's what he wants. That's our responsibility. That's part of what we're going to be held accountable to at the judgment seat of Christ. How have I shined forth my light to others? Whether it's vacation Bible school or Sunday school or the Wednesday night service or on the job or with your neighbors or in the store or in the restaurant or wherever you go, whatever you're doing, that Jesus Christ be seen in us, that they can be drawn to him as a result. The influence of God. God's influence is all around, but we are probably one of the greatest influences that God has in this world as people see what he's doing in our lives. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Amen. God, we thank you for your goodness. In Romans it says, your goodness leads us to repentance. Certainly there's a place for the preaching of hell and the judgment to come on those who do not receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Some who need to be snatched from the burning. Amen. God, sometimes we forget that it's your goodness that leads us to repentance. And we emphasize the negative to the neglect of the positive and all the great and mighty things that you do in our lives. God, help us to be balanced in our approach, in our witness, that people see that you are a good, gracious, merciful God. Help us, Lord, to be the influence that you desire for us to be in this world. God, I pray for the kids this past week who were here for VBS, those that were unsaved, that they saw you in your goodness and they would understand their need of you. God, if there's someone here this morning that's never trusted you as Savior, may they understand how much you love and care for them and all that you've done for their benefit. And all they have to do is receive you as their Savior. God, help us as your people to take the responsibility that we have to carry this message to this lost and dying world around us, to show them we care, to show them what you do in our lives. God, help us to be faithful. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.